To begin with, I actually would like to share a couple of little snippets from several days worth of the Daily Word this week. On Thursday, the affirmation was, I do what is mine to do, and then I let it go. I welcome the inner knowing that informs my mind and heart of what is mine to do. I release my notions of what the result will be like, and instead have faith that each next step, I am guided to take the lead to what is best for me, and I would say then for our world. And the scripture reading that day was from Isaiah. Those of steadfast mind you keep in peace because they trust in you. On Friday, the message, the affirmation was intention. My intention is to be loving and compassionate. I believe in the power of kindness, and I strive to treat all people with the consideration and patience with which I like to be treated. I pause to remember this truth. I am a divine being, just as all people are. And from the Song of Solomon, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his intention toward me was love. Yesterday, on Martin Luther King's birthday, it was serve. And this day has become a day of service, not so much the Monday as a day off, but a day on as a way to recognize that we give back to the communities that we're a part of. I find joy in service. When I give my time and energy to a cause or a person, I feel a special kind of fulfillment. It's great to know I am making a positive difference. Serving brings greater meaning to my life. It is an affirmation of spiritual affluence that extends beyond myself. And from 1 Peter, like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. That was quite a progression of messages. What is mine to do? One of the powerful aspects of working at a high school for the past 4 years is that teenagers pretty much have a contract with the universe to be hypocrisy detectors. While they may not always easily own up to their own blind spots, if we let them, they challenge the adults in their lives to walk our talk and to not settle for do what I say, not what I do. My students continuously pushed me to break open my assumptions and comfortable ways of seeing the world. Last year at school, when we marked the birth of Dr. King, it followed the tumultuous, to say the least, year of 2020. The year of COVID and lockdown. The year of recognizing what the earth looked like when our human activities on it came to a stop during lockdown. The year of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. The year of a fraught election. The year of polarizing divisions that still reverberate today. In that high school setting, especially in front of 145 young people whose hearts were heavy with the weight of all of the above, what was mine to do as their white, middle-aged, loving campus minister? Those trusting, hurting, young faces surely did not need me to speak in a way that ignored what they were facing in their own lives, in their communities, and in our country at large. And yet as their elder, their teacher, as their minister, I also surely could not leave them mired in hopelessness. And I promise I won't leave us in hopelessness either. The steadfast champion of civil rights, John Lewis, said, "Democracy is not a state. It is an act, and each generation must do its part to help build what Martin called the beloved community, a nation and world society at peace with itself." Like Dr. King, John Lewis was part of a generation that fought for civil rights. Their generation laid the groundwork for this generation of young people to find hope in activism. My students often led the way for us to begin meaningful work and conversation around issues they care deeply about. Racial equity and justice, gender inclusion language and policy, people first language for those with intellectual, physical, or mental health challenges that recognize the person beyond what we might label as a disability. Their openness to finding religious unity within our diversity of belief and practice, and their sense of urgency at taking better care of our spinning blue planet. What was mine to do in that setting was to listen, to guide, to be willing to feel my own discomfort and see what it had to teach me, to learn together how to have difficult conversations with a little more skill, to enlarge my thinking and push my students to reflect deeply, to learn about ourselves as we engaged with the world. In many ways, that is still at the heart of what is mine to do. So I'm going to pull a Dennis Ryan now from his talk this summer, "You Would Know This If," and point us towards this month's Unity magazine. Thanks to Roger for sharing the following article with me that invited my deep dive into its pages. In the beautiful and challenging article, "Where Will You Stand?" by Reverend Ogun Holder, he asks us to reflect on more than the often quoted words of Dr. King, "I have decided to stick with love. Hate is too great a burden to bear. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." Those words resound on so many levels. We choose light and love. And yet, Holder reminds us of King's words that provoke the kind of discomfort that just might transform us. And with a nod to those young people, I've taken liberties and changed he to they to include all of us in this challenging message. They who passively accept evil are as much involved in it as they who helped perpetrate it. They who accept evil without protesting against it are really cooperating with it. The ultimate tragedy is not the oppression and cruelty by the bad people, but the silence over that by the good people, who are more devoted to order than to justice, who prefer a negative peace that is the absence of tension to a positive peace, which is the presence of justice. What is mine to do? Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Romans 12, too. In the article, A New Thought About New Thought, Reverend Jackie Fernandez teaches into this passage from Romans. She challenges us to see in a new way our affirmations and denials, our understanding that we are co-creators with God of the world we see. Fernandez writes, "Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Have a new thought." The teaching in this verse is infinitely deeper than merely manifesting parking spaces. She goes on to say, the power of thought to create a reality requires that we replace limiting thoughts with truth and know our divine inheritance. The renewing of the mind will necessarily result in a transformative experience. You will be changed by what you hold in consciousness. She reminds us, the work is deep. It can be very difficult, and it will very likely challenge the depth of your faith. Take heart. You will be established in the law of love's perfection, transformed by the renewing of your mind. Whether or not your outer world changes, your perception and understanding of it certainly will. And that new thought is the one that will change everything. Holy wow. I recognize that my relationship with unity, principles, and practices are just beginning. And the power and perspectives of these two articles resonated deeply with my own questions and where I feel called to grow. And yet it was the way their messages interacted in my heart and in my mind with an article, Liberation as a Pathway to Love, by Reverend Kelly Isola, that will be my food for thought, for prayer and meditation for a long time to come. If you've ever been touched by liberation, then you know why you must commit to it and be disciplined in your own walk to liberation. For it is the only way all can have liberation. Liberation is a radical pathway, one where the power lies within ourselves to question everything we think. Liberation is creating a culture of caretaking, a culture with love as its central value. If we miss opportunities to do this, then we miss opportunities to liberate ourselves. We miss knowing who and what we are, and knowing that our birthright is exactly love. So, what is mine to do? What is ours to do? We just said, and we say every week, a world transformed through the spiritual awakening of all. We awaken to and embrace the divine essence of all beings through prayer and service in our community and in the world. We affirm the oneness of all of creation in an all-loving goodness of God. We say those words every week, and they call us. Dr. King was inspired by Mahatma Gandhi's commitment to the principle of ahimsa, nonviolence. This commitment led both men not to an absence of tension, but to work for a peace that holds justice. Neither denied the darkness they saw in the hearts and workings of the world, but they called to each of us to bring light to the darkness. There are two other teachings from Hinduism, and I am not, as I have said before, an expert on the world's religions, but I have deep reverence for how they point us on our way together. In Hinduism, there's a recognition of both the stages of life and a call to walk our path of Dharma, our sacred purpose. That Dharma is the through line through all of the stages of how our lives transform, from students to young householders, to those available like me in this stage in my life to live my sacred purpose in a different way, to our later years when we are called to just be prayerful and commune with the divine. So what some of my teenage students are called to do as they discover their sacred purpose may look very different from what I am called to do, or my adult children are called to do, or what my parents are called to do. At the heart of our vision and mission is a call to the paradox of being and doing. We pray in a trust that affirms our birthright to walk in love, that affirms our co-creation with the power and presence of God. And from the depths of our being, we are called into discomfort. We are called into our own disciplined walk, into liberation from our thought habits, and toward our full awakening. And then into bringing that awakening into every moment of our lives, into every interaction. Each day we greet the morning, greet the evening, and pray into, live into, rest into the love that guides our way into answering, what is mine to do? To take that legacy from the holy ones who've come before us, Martin Luther King, Mahatma Gandhi, the teachers and wise ones in our own lives and circles. We are called to pray. We are called to practice. We are called to awaken into our path. And we awaken in that path together. Always. We help each other walk along our way. So on this day of remembering our call, may we sit with our discomfort. May we use that discomfort to go deeper, to see where we have been privileged and where we have given sustenance and help, and to always go deeper into that voice of wisdom that is the voice of God within. And for our closing prayer in this moment of walking together, I offer the words of the wise one, Maya Angelou, and a poem titled Prayer. So let it be our prayer together. Father, Mother, God, thank you for your presence during the hard and mean days, for then we have you to lean upon. Thank you for your presence during the bright and sunny days, for then we can share that which we have with those who have less. And thank you for your presence during the holy days, for then we are able to celebrate you and our families and our friends. For those who have no voice, we ask you to speak. For those who feel unworthy, we ask you to pour your love out in waterfalls of tenderness. For those who live in pain, we ask you to bathe them in the river of your healing. For those who are lonely, we ask you to keep them company. For those who are depressed, we ask you to shower upon them the light of hope. Dear Creator, you, the borderless sea of substance, we ask you to give to all the world that which we need most, peace. And may we remember that we are the hands of God. We are the hands of God who bring the waterfall of tenderness, who bathe our beloveds and strangers alike in the tenderness of peace and forgiveness and service. May we be the hands of God. May we be the heart of God wherever we are, always and in all ways. May it be so, and so it is. Amen.